Because faith comes through hearing the message of Christ, this sermon has been uploaded for you by Grace Unlimited, a ministry that functions out of Living Hope Church, Pretoria, South Africa. We want Jesus Christ to have first place in everything in our church, and we want to help you know and follow Jesus in all of life, and to help others do the same. Find out more or download many more free sermons at graceunlimited.co.za or livinghopechurch.co.za.
Such a privilege to be with you. I'm so thankful to be a Christian that God has saved me and to gather together with other believers who are my family in Christ, and to be able to take some time to study God's Word. We normally have been working our way through the Gospel of Luke, and we'll get back to that next week, but it is Communion Sunday today, and every month, at least once a month, we take some time to participate in communion together as a church, because while we know that Jesus did something very big for us, we also know that it's very easy for us, even as Christians, to take what he did for granted. And we don't want that. The gospel is amazing, and we always want to be amazed by the gospel. And so one thing Jesus did to help us remember just how good he is give us a little meal to enjoy together where we can reflect on the depth of what he accomplished for us. And so we like to take some time as a church to make sure that we don't miss it. The gospel is really important. The gospel is our life. There is no single message more important, more necessary, more vital for you than the gospel. We don't want to miss the gospel. And so lately we have been just trying to focus on one truth together during this service that will help us enjoy Jesus a little more and appreciate what he's done for us better. And I thought today that we might do that by talking a little bit about adoption. I want to talk about adoption to help you remember Jesus. It's another one of those 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord. And I want to motivate you to worship by thinking a little about what the Bible teaches about adoption. You know the word adoption. I'm sure you know the word adoption. And I don't know what you think about when you think about the word adoption, but probably most of us think more horizontally when we think about adoption, more on a human-to-human level. When most of us think about adoption, we probably think of somebody we know that adopted someone else. So for me, I always think about friends that we have in the United States who were part of the first church that we ever pastored. And I was a young man when I was pastoring in the United States, and they seemed old to me then. They probably were actually just about my age, but they seemed old to me then. And yet when we moved to Africa, they had children that were teenagers, and those children grew up and left the home. And when we moved to Africa, and they were just about at the stage when they were going to become grandparents, they actually decided to almost start over again. And so they started adopting children, very young children, special needs children, actually. And whenever I think about adoption, whenever someone says the word adoption, I think about that family, because it's just so beautiful. That's the first image that comes into my mind. And I'm sure that many of you have stories like that. But the kind of adoption that I want to talk with you about today is even bigger. And it's even better. And it's even, if you can believe it, more beautiful. It's definitely more personal. You'll take your Bible, if you haven't already, and open to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to talk with you about your adoption. If you are a Christian, you are adopted. Adoption is not just something that happens to someone else. If you are a believer, God has adopted you, which is what Paul's talking about in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. He writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that sounds normal to us, I suppose, like something Paul does. He's blessing God. But Paul's in prison, you know, in Ephesians. And he's worshiping. He opens this letter worshiping. He says, "Blessed be God." And he's blessing God for the way God's blessed us. In prison, he's not thinking so much about how hard it is or why he's in prison or how difficult his life is at that moment. He is thinking about how good God's been. Instead, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And every spiritual blessing. That is huge. And Paul goes on to talk about some of those blessings more specifically. Like he says, one of the blessings we experience, for example, is the fact that we've been chosen by God before the beginning of the world to be united to Christ, verse 3. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. And I'm sure we'll have to talk about that blessing sometime again, election. But Paul's worshiping, that's one of the blessings that's causing Paul to worship. And another is adoption. He goes on. End of verse 4, beginning of verse 5. "In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved." He predestined us for adoption. Adoption is this huge spiritual blessing for Paul. It's so big, in fact, that as he's in prison and he sits down to think about how good God's been, that one of the very first things he thinks about is the fact that before God even created the world, he made a plan to adopt us through Jesus Christ. It's adoption, something that causes Paul to worship God in prison. It's exciting to him. It's one of the very important words that Paul uses to describe what it means for us to be a Christian. It's especially Paul who tells us about adoption, actually. You don't find the idea so much in the Old Testament. There are only a few adoptions in the Old Testament, and they're all the kinds of adoptions we might think about, physical adoptions, not spiritual ones. And you don't find the idea of adoption so much in the other writers of the New Testament either. It's Paul specifically who teaches us about adoption. And for Paul, this is a very basic description of what it means to be a Christian. In fact, if you ask Paul, if you were talking with Paul about the Christian life, and you ask Paul, "Paul, is there a way that I can evaluate how well I understand what it means to be a Christian? I want to make sure that I really can grasp what you're saying about what it means to be a Christian." Paul might say, "Yes, there is a good way to make sure that you can know, or to make sure you, to evaluate how well you know what it means to be a Christian. You need to see how much you appreciate what it means to be adopted." Adoption. How important is it that you understand your adoption? How much you value your adoption reveals how much you understand your salvation. It is big adoption. It captures much of what it means to be a Christian. And it's a reason to worship God even in the hardest of times. This is a big blessing. In fact, it may be one of the biggest blessings you experience as a Christian. kind of hard to compare blessings, you know. We have every spiritual blessing, and it's kind of difficult to ask which one of those blessings is bigger. They're all amazing. So to be chosen by God is big. To be declared righteous by God is big. To be adopted, though. To be adopted. It might be the biggest blessing, and yet I'm not sure we always appreciate it. Any time that we're overwhelmed by our circumstances and we don't think we have a reason to worship, it's because we're not understanding our adoption. I want you to appreciate what it means for you to be adopted. And so this afternoon I want to meditate with you on five truths that help us appreciate Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and why it is such a huge privilege to be adopted. This is for worship. I want you to worship as we go to communion. And I think there are five truths that you have to understand to enjoy what it means for you to be adopted the way that Paul did. First, to appreciate the doctrine of adoption, you have to know that you are adopted. So we're talking about the reality of adoption. Do you even know that you are adopted? Is that one of the fundamental key pieces to the way you think about your identity? I am adopted. Did you even know that you need to be adopted? To appreciate what it means to be adopted, you have to understand that you actually are adopted. And to appreciate that you are adopted, you have to first understand that you are not born a child of God. That's why adoption is necessary. You are not naturally a child of God. If you are a child of God right now, it's because you are adopted. Adoption is how you become a child of God. Even if you just look at this verse, obviously, God wouldn't have to predestine us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ if we already naturally were God's sons and daughters. Paul wouldn't be worshiping God saying, "Blessed be God for adopting, for planning this," if out of the womb we naturally were God's sons and daughters. You don't adopt your own children normally. I know when my daughter McKenna was born, I didn't need to stand before a judge and adopt her. She already was my daughter. You don't adopt people who are your children. You adopt people who weren't your children. Adoption, taken literally, if you just look at the concept itself, what does the word mean? It means moving from a state of not having God as your father to a new relationship in which God begins to be your father. Paul says, "I am adopted." That means I needed to be adopted and that God's taken action to adopt me. Which I know is surprising for some, even actually historically. Some people who have said that they're Christians have hated this doctrine of adoption. They say we're all children of God. But no, we are not all children of God. We are all created by God. In terms of where did we come from? God's the source of every single person here. We're all made in the image of God. That's why we show respect and honor to every single person, because we realize that person is made in God's image. But that is different than being a child of God. Being a creature made by God is different than being a son of God. As an unbeliever, you are able to call God your creator, but you are not able to call God your father. The reality is that God, in fact, is your enemy. You go back to the beginning and you see that we as creatures rebelled against God, and the result of that rebellion is that you and I, we were born God's enemy, not God's child, God's enemy. In fact, it's almost like you were born the opposite of God's children. To see how bad the situation was, you weren't just not a child of God, you were part of a family that was against God. Listen to how Paul puts it in Ephesians 2. If you just look at the next chapter, he says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature," not just by action, "were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, among whom we all once lived." And we're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. This is important. I remember when we first got to know Lincoln, our son Lincoln, we went into that baby home, and I think we were just visiting, actually. We weren't planning anything. But Lincoln was such a sweet baby. And I was holding Lincoln, and he wouldn't let go. And it wasn't hard to want Lincoln in our family. He's just brought so much joy to our family. He makes our family better, which is not how it works with us and God. We needed to be adopted like children needed to be adopted. But to appreciate the biblical doctrine of adoption, you have to recognize that your situation was actually worse than that. The picture that you have to have in your mind is not of a sweet little child needing to be adopted. It's an enemy. We belong to a group of people who hated God. We belong to a group of people whom God did not owe anything, who were doing everything they could to resist God. And yet, in Christ, Paul says, in love, God predestined us for adoption. Our background didn't stop him. Our nature didn't stop him. The fact that we didn't have anything to offer him didn't stop him. Instead, he chooses, you might say, to officially and legally take unworthy, hateful individuals and make them part of his family forever. And that's adoption. You are adopted. What does it mean to be adopted? Adoption is the act where God takes his enemies and chooses to officially and legally make people like that part of his own family forever. What adoption is, it's the legal device where a person leaves one family and enters another. When Paul talks about God predestining us for adoption, he's talking about God's plan once and for all to take a person from the family of the devil to being part of his own family and to give them all the rights and all the privileges that go along with being one of his very own children. And I'm saying that's at the essence of what it means to be a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to be God's family. How did we become God's family? He adopted us once and for all. God has taken you, if you're a Christian, from the family of the devil and made you part of his own family, giving you all the rights and all the privileges that go along with being one of his dear children. To appreciate, to worship, as a result of the adoption, the doctrine of adoption, you need to know that you are adopted. If you are a Christian, you needed to be adopted. You weren't got part of God's family, but now you are. That's first, the reality of adoption. Second, the motive for adoption. God loves his adopted children. And it's important you believe that. One of the most important things I can do as a pastor every week, if you're a believer, is to help you remember how much God loves you. You know, that's a pretty cool job. That's like at the essence of what my job is. Week after week, if you are a believer, you have a very hard time appreciating how much God loves you. And one of the most important things I can do as a pastor, if you're a Christian, is help you appreciate how much God loves you. And one way you can see how much God loves you is by looking a little more carefully at what motivated him to adopt you. what you should think about when you think about being adopted, you should think about being loved by God. Because look at what Paul says at the end of verse 4 and the beginning of verse 5. He says, in love, God predestined us. And predestined just means predetermined or planned beforehand. And so he's looking at the way God planned this adoption, and he's saying, what was God's attitude as he did this? It's love. In love. This whole decision to adopt you and me and us as believers was motivated by and wrapped in love. Now, I know in this sinful world, that's not always how adoption works, actually. People adopt, when you think about adoption, people adopt for all sorts of different reasons. I know people who have adopted children because they felt guilty. Or they thought, maybe if I adopt children, I'll be someone important or something like that. Or maybe it was an uncle and his sister died. And so they had to take the kids into the home. And so every time they see the children, they think, why did I take this child into my home? But that's not how God adopted us. In fact, this was a delight for God. Can you even believe what I'm saying? God delighted to adopt you. In the next phrase, Paul says, in love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. And according to means on the basis of. And a better translation of the word purpose actually would be good pleasure. According to the delight of his will. He's trying to draw your attention to God's joy in doing this. You might say, God wanted to adopt you. You are wanted. So it's like, imagine you were able to go back before the beginning of the world and you were watching God making this plan. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you're wondering, why is God so happy right now? It's adoption. Paul says this was the delight of his will. It was love that motivated God to adopt us, which is one of the special treasures of thinking about adoption, actually. How do we know that God wants us? Adoption. God adopted us. And I kind of want to shout that because I don't think a lot of Christians think of themselves like that. I don't think a lot of Christians think of their relationship with God as one of being wanted. But that's part of why it's so important to understand this doctrine of adoption. Adoption especially is about being loved. I mean, I know obviously if you think about any aspect of your salvation, it shows God's kindness. But when you understand adoption, it makes every facet of your salvation better. Because, I mean, take election, for example. You think about that part of your salvation. God shows you. What if you only knew election? That you only knew that God chose you. That would be amazing. That would be great. But it doesn't necessarily mean love, right? Because he could have chosen you just to be his slave. Which in and of itself would have been an honor, actually. But adoption tells you salvation's bigger. He didn't just choose you to be his slave. He chose you to be part of his family. Or forgiveness. That's amazing, too. Being forgiven. If you only knew about forgiveness, that God pardoned you of your guilt, that would be amazing. But if you only thought about that, you might not get the extent of God's love because it's sort of a legal thing, forgiveness. And so when you think about forgiveness, you think about standing before a judge. And the judge says, you're righteous, you're innocent, you're pardoned. And that's amazing and you're thankful. But there's obviously a big difference between calling someone your honor and calling them daddy. Adoption means the judge is your dad. I mean, normally, judges don't normally give the people they're judging hugs, if you know what I'm saying. But adoption means your family. This judge of the universe calls you his son. He wants you as part of his family. And look, God really, really wants you to believe that. Because he not only adopts you, that would be enough. He wants
you to know why He adopts you. In other words, He not only loves you like a son, He wants you to believe that He loves you like a son. In fact, I've always said, the whole time we've been together as a church, this is one of the most important things for you as a believer to know. That God loves and delights in you like a son. That's actually part of why He gave you the Spirit. God the Father sent Jesus into the world so you could be adopted, and He gave you the Spirit so that you could know that you're adopted. That He really is your Father, that you really are His child, and that is part of why you need to think about adoption. In fact, maybe just to take this a step further, because this blows my mind. How much does God love me? He adopted me. Okay, that's big, but do you know how big? Do you know how big? Go further. This is like dance in the aisles of the church stuff that I'm talking about. Go further if you want to know how much God loves you. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Because, of course, if you think about Jesus, you're like, yeah, I can see. I understand why God the Father loves Him. He's perfect. He's Jesus. That makes sense. They're of the same nature. They're eternal. They are one. But listen, the good news of adoption is that God has united you to Jesus. He's adopted you through Jesus. And there's a sense in which you could say He's adopted you in Jesus. He's brought you into union with Jesus. And so now it's like you're brought right into the middle of this great, big, eternal, loving relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And that's not just me saying that either. In John, Jesus Himself says that. He says that's actually part of the plan. God's plan, John 17, look it up, verse 23. God's plan is to love us as His children with the same kind of love He has for Jesus. Can you believe I just said that? That's awesome. And the Bible says that. Jesus says that. God loves me like Jesus. God loves you if you're a Christian, like He loves Jesus, because you're in Jesus. And we'll talk about that in another communion, union with Christ. This is a huge blessing in adoption, and to appreciate it, you have to see how much you needed it. You have to see you are adopted, the reality of adoption, and you have to see what it means. It means, quote here, God receives us as sons and loves us with the same affection with which He eternally loves His only begotten Son. How much does God love you? You're adopted. In love He predestined your adoption. He adopted you through Jesus, in Jesus. This is His motive for adoption. Third, to appreciate adoption, you not only have to look at the way God adopted you and the way God loves you, you have to look back at the way God planned your adoption, the origin or the source of your adoption. In Ephesians chapter 1, this is big stuff. It says, in love, He predestined us for adoption. And predestined, this is kind of the heart of the verse, actually. He predestined us. That's the main thought. Predestined means decide beforehand. And basically what he's saying is that your adoption was not an accident. Obviously, you can have your own child by accident. It's one of the big differences between having your own child and adopting. You can accidentally, sort of accidentally, have a baby of your own. You can't accidentally adopt. In fact, usually adopting is hard. Unfortunately, we had friends adopted a child from Haiti. It took them like 2 years to be able to adopt that child from Haiti. And that process began with a decision they made long before the child moved into their home. And that's true with God, only much, much bigger and more magnificent, because Paul tells us that God decided to adopt you long before he even created the world. It's not just that he looked at you and said, you know what, I see how this person's living, I want to adopt this person. No, it's that he made this decision before he even created the world. Look at verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, continue the thought, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons. And those two phrases go together. It's like he's clarifying or expanding election. And adoption is actually, it's kind of a cool thing, because no matter where you look at God and what he's doing in salvation history, you know what you see? You see adoption. If you look to the future, say you go to the future, you look to the end of everything. What's God doing at the end of everything? Romans 8 tells us God's revealing our adoption as sons. That, Paul says, is the goal of the universe. If you look at the present, Paul says God gave us the Spirit. This is Romans 8 as well. God gave us the Spirit so we can know we're adopted. If you look to the past, you see that Jesus came into the world, this is Galatians, so that you could be adopted. And yet, you know what Paul's saying here? If you look even further back, you know what you see? You see, before God even created the universe, he's planning your adoption. I know a preacher who likes to say, when he talks about adoption, I love this. He says, the fact that God adopted us before the beginning of the world means, now listen to this, this is what John Piper says, means that adoption is greater than the universe. I say greater than the universe, not greater than the world, because it's before the universe and above the universe and greater than the universe. God created the universe so that there would be a place and a people so he could do this thing called adoption. We want to go even just a little deeper. Some would say this is why God went along with creation when he knew Adam and Eve would sin. It was because he planned that we would have a higher privilege and dignity than merely being his creatures. He planned to adopt us and make us his sons. So if you ever ask yourself, why would I believe that God cares about me? We had ants in our home today, actually, because we had a little rye last night and lots of cupcakes and kids. And there were ants all over our floor, and I was looking down at those ants, actually, and thinking, man, it would be crazy if I cared about one of these ants. Wouldn't it be weird just to think, well, look at that ant. I feel a special affection for that ant. No, it would be very, very strange. And the distance between me and an ant is smaller than the distance between you and God. Because an ant and me, we're both creatures. God is creator. And so if you've ever asked, why would I believe that God loves me? I can understand you asking that question. But one reason you believe that God loves you is because you can look at what he says was going on in his mind before the beginning of the universe, and you would see that before he even created this world, he was planning on adopting believers. And if you're a Christian, that's you. And if I'm a Christian, that's me. I mean, I know life sometimes gets really confusing. And you look at what's going on and you're like, God forgot me. God doesn't care about me. He cares. Think about adoption. You can't allow one single moment of confusion to cause your heart to start doubting God's affection for you. You were on his mind before he even created the world. You're adopted. And God loves his adopted children. And we see that in how he planned our adoption. Fourth, to appreciate your adoption, you have to appreciate the result of your adoption. The reality of your adoption, the motive for your adoption, the origin of your adoption, the result of adoption. Adoption means You are an heir of God the Father. You see in verse 5, Paul doesn't seem very politically correct. He talks about our adoption as sons. And that's significant, as sons. We could read over that, but that's significant. I think I was telling you a few weeks ago that in Paul's day, one of the reasons why they adopted was to give someone an inheritance. So that was like actually the big goal of it. So you didn't really have baby homes in Paul's day. You didn't really adopt babies. You adopted grown adults. Some rich person would be old and they would have been unable to have children, and they felt like my honor, the honor of this family matters, and they wanted to leave a legacy, and so they would look for someone they thought was worthy to pass the inheritance on to, and they would go through this long process of adoption where they would say to this person, we want to adopt you, and the person they chose would have to then renounce his former family. He would have to say, I'm not part of this family any longer. And his former family would actually have to renounce him. They'd have to say, this is not our child. That would be the first step. It was like this legal thing. He would cut the connection. To be adopted, he can't have any connection to his old family anymore. And then he would be placed in this new family, totally and completely. Someone, they say, adoption was to place the adopted person for all legal purposes in the same position as if he had been a natural child in the family of the adopter. The adopted son took his adopted father's name and rank. He acquired rights of succession on death in his new family. He lost all such rights he had in his own family. And I bring that up because I don't want you to think of your adoption as some kind of second-class status. We sometimes, because of our sinfulness, we might look at a natural child differently than we do an adopted child. And that's wrong, but that's not what was going on with the kind of adoption that Paul's talking about. This adoption completely changed the person's status, and that is big because we're not just talking about leaving any family and becoming part of any old family. We're talking about leaving the family of Satan and becoming part of the family of God. I mean, if you think about where you came from, this is a huge transition. You were a child of wrath. Now you are a child of God. If you think about the debts your old family owed, they were huge. But if you're adopted, you're rid completely of all those debts. You're not part of that old family anymore. You're part of God's family. If you're adopted, you now have the ability to approach God as not just a master, you approach God in this whole new way as a father. And there's something even more, because it's not just the privilege we experience now of relating to God as a father that makes adoption such a tremendous blessing. God specifically goes on to tell us that he has an inheritance for us. There's something not just that we experience in the present as a result of being adopted. There's something that he has for us in the future. This is actually part of the whole reason why he adopted us. It's stressed in how Paul puts it here, because he says we're adopted as sons. And that's the way the Bible always talks about it. It talks about adoption as sons. And you might think, why doesn't he just say adopted as children? Or like, be polite and say adopted as sons and daughters. And he could have said that. There's Greek words for that. But the phrase he uses, he specifically adds sons. And he uses this word sons. Why? Does Paul not like women? No, that's not what's going on. The reason has to do with the fact that in Paul's day, there were inherited rights that came along with sons. Sons inherited the property. And so the amazing thing the Bible tells us is that when God adopts us, men and women, we all receive these inheritance rights, just like we're sons. In fact, turn over to Romans. You need to see this. Romans 8, 15 through 17. There's five main passages in the New Testament on adoption. You really should know them all. because it's such an important doctrine, but this is one of them. Romans 8:15-17, Paul says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons." And that's the part I was telling you, that you're not just adopted, but God gives you the spirit so you can know you're adopted. "By whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God." And I'm pronouncing that right, South African style, right? Heirs, heirs, you know. Heirs, that means someone who inherits. It's not like Herb. Heirs, heirs of someone who inherits. You are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him that we may also be glorified to Him. There's an already to our adoption. You are adopted. But there's also a not yet. You know that, right? There's more coming to your adoption. There's an inheritance. In fact, later in Romans, Paul says, the whole creation is longing. It's like nature, Paul's saying, has this groaning. They're longing for something. They're longing for what God's going to do in the future. And not just creation, but us. We're longing, chapter 8, verse 23, as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. We're adopted, but we're waiting for our adoption as sons. And what is our adoption as sons? Ultimately, it is the redemption of our body. God, this is, we sang about resurrection, but understand this, there is such a big future for you as a believer, such a big future, and it involves your physical body. That's part of what it means to be adopted. Christianity is a very physical thing. God's long-term goal for you is not just to be a soul floating around in heaven playing harps. He is going to resurrect your body. The redemption of your bodies is what he's talking about. He has to transform your body so that you can experience the fullness of what it means to be his adopted son. And there's a lot there, but I just want you to think about this. You are adopted for something huge. You look at mountains now, you know, you go up hiking and you get on the top of this mountain and there's just something in your soul that's in awe of what you see. You're just like, wow, God's creation. Well, God's creation is going to experience that when they look at what God does when He finalizes your adoption, when He reveals your adoption, the redemption of your body. The mountains and the angels and the universe is going to say, what a God. What a God. This is awesome. And who are we, you know, as we think about this? Because when you look at Jesus, He deserves this inheritance, obviously. He's perfect. He's glorious. But what happens in adoption is that God gives us an inheritance along with Jesus. So, of course, this is not how people work normally. I mean, here you have this perfect Father and you have this perfect Son. And imagine you're a perfect father and you have a perfect son and you love that perfect son perfectly and that perfect son loves you perfectly. Your relationship is great. There's this absolute communion. You think the same thoughts. You couldn't love this son more. And then over there, there's these terrible, self-centered, foolish, rebellious children who hate you and are saying blasphemous things about you. They spit on you. And yet you choose. You come home one day and you say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring those children into my home and give them everything that belongs to my boy. Who does that? God does that. Nobody does that. God does that. God does more than that. Funny, the reason they adopted sons in Paul's day was because they didn't have anyone to give the inheritance to. But God already had a son. He wasn't lonely. And you know, to really get this, you have to appreciate that He gave you all that at the cost of His son. We were the ones who were the outsiders. Jesus was the insider. But the one on the inside, the son, was willing and happy to share His inheritance. So happy that He went outside that we might come inside. And that's important. How does this adoption happen? God the Father planned it, but Jesus made it possible. You go back to Ephesians 1, Paul says, we're adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. As we think about our adoption, it's love every which way we look at it. Adoption shows us the love of the Father, yes, but it shows us the love of the Son. Because what are most sons doing? What are most older brothers doing? They're thinking about their inheritance. They don't want anybody getting in on their inheritance. This son was willing to die that you might get in on the inheritance. I mean, Jesus didn't have to be our elder brother. He volunteered. He stooped down to become our elder brother in order to be able to save us. That's part of why we're worshiping as we celebrate communion. Communion reminds us what Jesus did. His body was broken and his blood was shed so that we could call him our brother. By coming to earth, he's made it possible for us to go to heaven. By taking on our ability to die, he made it possible that we would never die. By accepting our weakness, he has strengthened us by his power. By receiving our poverty, he's transferred his wealth to us. By taking the weight of our sin on us, he's clothed us with his righteousness. By becoming a son of man with us, he made it possible for us to be sons of God with him. What a Savior! What a God! You are adopted. God loves his adopted children. He planned your adoption before the beginning of the world for the purpose of giving you an inheritance at Jesus' expense. You are rich at Jesus' expense. Are you worshiping? Are you worshiping? This is the kind of truth that can make you worship when you're sitting in prison. This is the kind of truth that can make you worship when you're at the doctor and you find out you have cancer. This is the kind of truth that can make you worship when you're looking for a job and you can't get a job. You are God's child. That is real. Finally, fifth, the reality of adoption, the motive for adoption, the origin of adoption, the result of adoption. The goal of adoption. Fifth, the goal of adoption. And this might be the most important. Adoption is about someone much bigger than you. God didn't simply adopt you to adopt you. He adopted you to accomplish a purpose. And Paul tells us that purpose in verse 6. Look at it. He says, that's a purpose word. To the praise of his glorious grace. Adoption is doxological, you could say. It's about worship. It's about God. It's about making God look great. So if you're adopted and you're looking at yourself and you're thinking, why am I adopted? You know, why would God choose me? Here it is. God's grace is so big. And it's so glorious. Glorious is like heavy. So it's heavy. So magnificent. Grace is undeserved kindness. God is such a kind God. And he's so willing to share. And God's grace, as he looks at himself, is so stunning, so heavy, so deep, that he came up with a way of putting his kindness on display. And so God, who is at the center of the world, made a plan. How can I put my kindness, how can I put my grace on display for the universe to see and enjoy? Here's what I'll do. I'll adopt a people for myself. And if you don't get that this is to the praise of his glorious grace, if you don't get that, you're going to destroy adoption. You're going to really destroy adoption. If you think it ends with you, you destroy adoption. You're not going to end up worshiping in prison. You're going to end up complaining. Look at this. This is something to know as humans. We so easily get entitled. I remember we knew someone who was brought into a family. And he never had been part of a family before. He kind of grew up on his own. This family brought him in. They gave him lots of things. And they gave him clothes, they gave, you know, food, they gave him lots of things. And you can imagine what he was tempted with. He kept asking, what made me so special that this family brought me into the home like this? And you know, that thought destroyed the whole thing. It destroyed the whole thing. This must be about me, he started thinking. And he took grace and he made it something ugly. And if you hear all this stunning stuff to enjoy and start thinking it's about you, you're going to end up taking grace for granted. I'm adopted. I deserve this. No, you don't deserve this. You do not deserve this. I do not deserve this. And one reason God poured out all His goodness on you was so that you would be able to enjoy His kindness and goodness forever. And so the proper response to this tidal wave of love that you experience as a Christian is not to go home and look in the mirror and say, "Wow, I must be something." But instead to go home and get on your knees and say, "No way, God, you are so good. You are too good." You need to listen. If you're going through life with no family, say you are an orphan, that's a problem. That's a hard place to be an orphan. But I'll tell you something that's almost as big a problem. If you're brought into a family and you try to make it all about you, that is a problem. If someone adopts you and you come into that family and you think, This whole family should revolve around me, you will destroy the love that you've been shown. Instead of rejoicing, you'll be complaining. And as a Christian, you've been brought into God's family. You are loved. You are rich. Why? All of this is for God's glory, not your own. And maybe I can just ask you, do you believe that? Do you really believe that? I'm experiencing one of the biggest privileges on the planet. Do you believe that? I am God's child. Do you believe that? I don't deserve it. Do you believe that? This is all about God's grace. Do you believe that? If you do believe that, it's going to change you. It has to change you. I mean, if you know you're adopted and God brought you in His family, even though you don't deserve it, if you know adoption means the Creator of the universe loves you, that you're loved like Jesus, if you understand God wants you, that you're planned, that He has plans for you forever, if you believe that your adoption is bigger than you, your purpose is to make God look great in this world, it's going to change you. It has to. First, it's going to cause you to worship. Like Paul, how can you not worship? You are sitting in prison, but you are adopted. And God was planning it before the world began, and God sent His Son to make this happen, and God gave you the Spirit so that you can enjoy it, and God is going to reveal His inheritance for you when Jesus comes again. And you understand that, and you're not just thinking about how terrible your life is. You're thinking, blessed be the God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Are you thinking that? Are you thinking that? Is that your attitude? If that's not your attitude, there are two options, only two options that I could think of. One, maybe you're not adopted. Maybe you're not adopted. You know, you're not a Christian. And so how are you going to rejoice in this? If you're not a Christian, God is a good God. He is willing to adopt you. Come to Jesus. Turn from your sin. Come to Jesus. But two, maybe you are a Christian, and right now in your life, you are just such an immature child. You are totally absorbed in yourself. And you think it's your circumstances. That's why I'm not worshiping. It's not your circumstances causing you to complain. It's not. It's not. Do I need to say that again? It is not your circumstances causing you to complain. No, it's not. It's not. But you know what it might be? It might be the fact that you don't really appreciate what it means to be adopted. How well you understand adoption reveals how well you understand what it means to be a Christian. Do you understand what it means to be adopted? Are you convinced that you are adopted? Does God's adoption of you amaze you? Let's pray that God will help us, along with Paul, to be people who are amazed by what God has given us in Christ. Let's pray. Father, what a word. Eternal Father, all-wise Father, all-powerful Father, all-knowing Father, absolutely holy Father, our Father, our Father. Because of Christ. Lord, Holy Spirit, in the hearts of those who are believers, as we reflect on communion now, price that our older brother paid that we might share in his inheritance. Holy Spirit, make these hearts bigger. Strengthen us so that we can know the depth and breadth and height of the love that our Father has for us. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.